This first song is all about Christ. That's what he did for me.
Loved me, bought me, saved me, cleansed me. That's what he did.
Shelby, North Carolina.
Hi, my name is Michaela Daly, and I'm from Ashburn, Virginia.
Hi, my name is Lauren Foster, and I'm from Clarksville, Tennessee.
Most transformational person in all of history is the Lord Jesus, and we celebrate that here, lives that are available to be touched by his grace. We're going to take our time now and make your way to your Sunday school class. Good morning. Welcome to our Roundup Sunday. We're glad that you've taken the time to be with us, and we plan for you for this day. We're going to have a good time and good food and good fellowship. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll begin. Father, we've come because you said come, and we'd be welcome. You have invited us, all of us, to be a part of your family. And that's why the first words out of our mouth often are Father. Your plan for us, your care for us, and your involvement with us are beyond our expectation and our estimate ever. So this day we ask that you would just simply speak to us and tell us of your love, because in understanding you and your care for us, you'll make us better. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our guests have come. Ambassador College has worked with us. I called them on very short notice, and they did above and beyond my expectations. We're glad that you're here with us. Come and share a number with us, won't you?
What a wondrous joy to know 'tis true, the Lord our God is good. Everlasting blessing for his own is promised in his word.
For the Lord our God,
for the Lord our God,
is a sun and shield,
is a sun and shield,
and he giveth grace,
and he giveth grace and glory. What a comfort sweet to rest in this, his love will never change. As we seek each day his perfect will, our steps he will arrange.
For the Lord our God,
for the Lord our is a sun and
shield,
and he giveth grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them who will walk uprightly. What a God we serve. For the Lord our God is a sun and shield,
giving grace and glory.
Grace and glory. Blessed is the man who trust in him. For the Lord our God is a sun and shield, and he giveth grace and
taste the goodness of the Lord, satisfying hunger in my heart. Oh, to feed on manna from above, strength divine the Spirit shall impart. Oh, to know the presence of the Lord. Oh, to taste, to hear, to feel, to see.
I'm doing a music major at Ambassador, and I'm from Shelby, North Carolina.
Hi, my name is Lauren Foster. I'm a freshman music major from Clarksville, Tennessee.
My name is Julia Hansen. I am a junior music major from Shelby, North Carolina.
And I'm Michaela Daly, and I'm a sophomore music major from Ashburn, Virginia.
I just wanted to give a brief testimony just of some things that the Lord has taught me and has been teaching me. I don't know if you all know the song, I Must Tell Jesus, but that has become super important and special in my life, and a friend brought it to, showed it to me, and it's just the words are so sweet and precious, just that I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, and he will take care of our burdens. And I just am so thankful for a God that hears and listens to us and wants to hear our burdens and take care of them for us.
Saved by grace, saved by grace, we'll tell the story. Joy.
now a place in heaven for me,
and I shall see it face to face, and tell the story saved by grace, and I shall see it face to face, and tell the story saved by grace, saved by grace.
Questions go unanswered, and the doubts begin to come. Surrender all, answer His call, and learn to trust the Lord. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. He'll guide your path for each new day. His promise always stays the same. Trust in the Lord.
Trust in
says to be with you. Have faith the mountains He can move with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. Learn to lean upon His promise. Know that what He says is true. Listen to His gentle leading, for He cares for you. Working all things out together, planning all things for your good. Surrender all, answer His call, and learn to trust the Lord. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. He'll guide your path for to be with you. Have faith the mountains He can move with all your heart.
Trust in the Lord.
He'll guide your path with all your heart. Trust in the
Did you enjoy our guests so far this morning? I did. It's a blessing to me. Find your way to John's Gospel, chapter 10. You know all about us. You know the things that trouble us. You know the uncertainty that we face in these days. Yet there is no uncertainty about you. You are the way and the truth and the life. And you direct all of our paths. There is nothing that comes into our life that hasn't come through your loving hand first. And you know what we're confronted with. The text tells us you were tempted in all things like we were. Yet you got it right. And you can help us to live above the problems that confront us. So open our hearts to what you have to say for us in this hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you discovered recently that the days are uncertain? Life is different than it was 5 years ago. It's different than it was 1 year ago. It's accelerating around us. We have all sorts of economic challenges. Despite what everybody else says, current inflation rate is about 11-12%, something like that. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Relationships are strained. The economy is uncertain. Turmoil in our world, wars and rumors of wars. I keep reading about earthquakes in diverse places. Did you know that that's one of the signs that wind up is in the air? I like that text from Isaiah. He said, I will shake all nations. I think he's talking about the whole kit and caboodle. He's got our attention. And because we have this uncertainty, we need some direction for our life. John chapter 10 says this, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Shepherds lead sheep to keep them out of trouble, to keep them safe. And if anything is certain in our day, in our age, is that mankind needs a guide. We're not smart enough. We don't know the way. We find ourselves struggling with things that we didn't anticipate. We make corrections and directions in our steps, only to discover that things that we didn't anticipate are there waiting for us, getting ready to run over us. And we don't know what to do with them. Man needs a guide. I have a pastor friend who pastors an inner city church. And he tells the story of his church sending him to Africa. He wanted to get in touch with his roots. And he landed in Monrovia, in Liberia. And his church has arranged and put him up in a 5-star hotel called Dukar Palace. He said he got inside and all the lavatory fixtures were overlaid in genuine gold. And he said, it's hard to touch your roots when you're living in Dukar Palace, but he knew of a mission station not far out of Monrovia where his people back ages ago were from. And so he made an arrangement with a taxi to take him out there, and the taxi took him out, and he got out, and he said within 5 miles after he got outside of Monrovia, you were really touching Africa. It was absolutely desolate and barren, and little huts and walled and fenced in compounds to keep the animals out. And he got about 30, 35 miles outside of Monrovia, and the taxi driver pulled over and stopped. He said, you get out here. And he said, well, we're not there yet. He said, this is where the road ends. I can go no further. But if you go down this path, it's about 2 miles and you'll find the place. So my friend got out and he started down the path. And about 100 yards down the path, after he heard the taxi turn around and drive away, and as he was walking, a native swung out of a tree, sort of Tarzan mode, and landed behind him. And he said, oh, good night, here he is. He's going to kill me and rob me, and my corpse is going to be left out. And being a brave guy from the inner city, he knew what to do. He put it in the wind, and he ran. And you have to look at this because my friend is only about 5 foot 5'4", 5'5", and it doesn't matter whether he's standing up or laying down, he's the same height. I think that's how you say it, you know, polite way. He's large boned. Is that the correct way to say that? And he's running through the bush in Africa. And the natives running behind him go, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. And he, oh, and he's running, 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 and all of a sudden it dawns on him that he can't go any further. And he said, well, I'll be brave, and I'll face my demise. And he turns around and stops and goes to raise his hands to defend himself, and he can't even do that. And the native just kind of glides up to within about 5 feet of him, not puffing at all, not a drop of sweat on his brow, and said, do you need a guide? My friend said, truer words had never been spoken. And the guide began to lead him back, because in running like that and checking over his shoulder, he'd veered off the path and was just on the wrong one. He wasn't even headed in the right direction anymore. And so he was going the wrong way. And as he came back, the guide said, be careful, don't get over into this brush. These briars and brambles are poisonous and they'll affect you. And he said, if you slip off this trail into this stream, there are small poisonous snakes and there are crocodiles in this stream. And surrounding him, unbeknownst to him, were dangers on every side. And what he needed in his life was a simple guide to help him. You see, that is the nature of life for us. We don't know. We don't see the dangers around us. We can't anticipate what's there. But we that know Jesus have the joy of saying confidently, I know one who can be a guide. Amen. Don't you need a guide this morning? Don't you need somebody for the regrets that you carry and you don't know how to put behind you? Don't you need someone to take care of the fears that you can't get over, that dog your steps? Don't you need someone like that in your life? We have the joy of introducing him to the Good Shepherd. And David wrote about that, didn't he? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He provides for me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He takes the stress out of life and provides for everything that I need. And what I need is someone to lead me. In this text, it says, they hear my voice and they come out to me and I lead them out and I bring them back in. He takes care of us and provides for us. And every day in our life, we need this simple guide for us. You see, when we have Jesus, we're not in the dark. He's the light of the world. Amen. And he knows what's out there because he's been there and he sees all things and he knows all things and he's prepared all things. And every decision I've made, right decision, wrong decision, he was there when I was making it. He knew what I was going to decide, and he knew what he was going to do because of what I decided. In every circumstance in my life and in your life was his gracious invitation to come to me. When I confronted those circumstances that took me to my limits and I had no more, he said, come unto me, all you who labor and are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what a shepherd does. That's what a guide does for us. And he takes away our fears. And he calms our heart. Because
we have a guide. And unguided men, like unguided missiles, have a great potential for destroying everything near them when they go off. You and I need a guide who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life. But not only do we get a guide to help us, we get something else. And for me, maybe this is even better. Here in John 10, if you come down to verse 14, it said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. He said, I know my sheep. And my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I thought about this text, and another text came to my mind. In fact, two texts came to my mind. One's in Matthew's gospel. It's Matthew chapter 10, I think verse 32, if I remember right. And the other one's Mark chapter 8. Matthew chapter 10 says, he that is not ashamed to confess me will not be ashamed to confess before my Father. Yeah, let that one sink in, because our word confess is a word that's very near and dear to me. I am one of the very fortunate people in the world. I have probably the greatest father who's ever walked the planet. That's my humble opinion, of course. And just like I could claim that I have a good shepherd, he's my shepherd. He'll take care of you too, but he's personally involved with me. I had a father who was personally involved with me all the time, and that was a good thing. Because in case you couldn't tell, I could get in trouble quicker than anybody you ever saw. Just because I was busy. I wasn't malicious. I wasn't, you know, bad to the core. I was just busy. And I didn't anticipate things. And I didn't always have a guide. And sometimes I wandered off the track. And there I was. And then my father would show up. And whatever I'd messed up, he'd help me straighten out. But the one thing he never did was look at me and say, I'm ashamed of you. Because he was my father, and I wasn't ashamed to claim him, and he wasn't ashamed to claim me. His word was, whatever you do, I own that. And this is one who is not ashamed to own us before the Father. That's so important to you and I, because we stand condemned. The wages of sin is death. And there's no out for that. How many death penalties do you have in order for it to be fatal? It doesn't take many. We're not great scholars, but we can figure that one out. And see, we always try and make excuses for ourselves and say, well, that wasn't really a sin. Other people are doing it. But you miss the whole point. Sin is not so much what I do. Sin is why I do it. That's what sin is. Sin is the outcome, the sinful acts that I do. They're the outcome. But the reason why I did it is sin. And the reason why I did it is the same reason that Adam sinned. And all have sinned and come short of God's plan for their life. And that reason is I just chose to leave God out of what I was doing. That's what sin is. How many of you have ever done anything and didn't think about God while you were doing it? Anybody not called by? That's sin. I can be a good neighbor. I can help old ladies across the street. I can be generous. But if I leave God out of the process, it's sin. And I'll end up in a wrong place with wrong results. And I will desperately need the guide to get me back on track again. But when I mess up, listen to this. I have someone who owns me. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and all that the Father have given me, I will raise up in the last day, and no one takes them out of my hand. I will in no wise cast them out." How bad can you fail if he will in no wise cast out? What a great promise that is to me. I had a friend who I had come preach for me one Sunday. And Phil Hedgepath came and his wife Marlene, and I said, "You come and bring your two kids with you, and when we're all done, we'll go out to the buffet place and we'll follow Paul's instruction and buffet our body." Isn't that what he said? He said, "I buffet my body daily." That's what he said. So he thought that was a good idea. So not only did he and the kids and Marlene showed up, he brought his mother-in-law and two sisters-in-laws and another child to boot. But that's all right, because I came prepared and I was ready, and we went to the buffet house, and I said to the girl at the checkout line, because they, you know, whatever you got, you paid for, and I said, "You know, I've got people coming with me, and I got my friend who's a preacher, and he looks like a preacher, and his wife, and two kids, and a mother-in-law, and a couple other sisters, and a whole passel of them. And when they come through, I don't want them to have to pay. I'll pay for them. I've come prepared." And the girl said, "Well, I can't work like that." He said, "If they're here with you, you have to identify them as yours. And then when we're done, you can pay the bill." So I stood there, and pretty soon Marlene and their son came by, and I said, "That's one of mine." And the little boy with her, "That's one of mine." And the daughter and one of the sister-in-laws came by, and I said, "And those two are mine." And the other sister-in-law came along, "And that's mine." And finally, Phil came along, had whole bunches of stuff all over his tray. I mean, he just really put it on, and I knew he was going to. And I said, "And that one's one of mine, and that's the last one of mine. Add it up." And she rang up the bill. And I paid for it. Don't you know that life is so situated that you and I are always getting things on our tray that we can't pay for? Isn't that right? It just didn't come out the way we expected. And now I'm in over my head and the resources are depleted. And I've come to the end of my rope, and I don't even have enough left to tie a knot in the end of it, keep me from falling off. But there is one in heaven. Before that great cash register, and when the adversary comes and accuses me and said, "There's that boy, there he is, look at him, he's been unfaithful. He's gone his own way. There's those sins in his life." You see, we got a sense in which we wear ourselves out on the treadmill of life trying to be good. We think if we do enough good, we make up for it, you know, for the bad. How many banks you got to rob before you're guilty? Just how many sins you got to do before you're guilty? Just one. I think it's James that said, "If I keep all the points and offend in one, I'm guilty of the whole deal." I think that's what he said. And yet there's this one in heaven who stands there and says, Add it up. I bled enough on Calvary's cross to pay for them and for the whole world, but that one there is one of mine. And he's not ashamed to own me. Because I called on him and I asked him to be my Savior. And that's what he has for us. We have these two great needs in our society today. You and I, we need a guide. And we need someone to stand up for us. John said in 1 John, "These things I write to you, that you sin not. But since you do," listen now, "we have a representative, an advocate with the Father, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not ours only, but for the whole world. Amen. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Amen. You see, you need a guide. And you need somebody to own you. And you recognize that you're unable to do it on your own. We need someone who'll stand by us and stand with us. And when I recognize my need and how I've left him out has left me in a mess, don't forget. My favorite picture in the New Testament is Luke 15, where we talk about the prodigal child. It's not a sermon about the prodigal child. It's a sermon about the waiting father. It's a picture of grace. It's a picture of God giving us what we don't deserve. And when we've thrown everything away and we've lost everything by our bad decisions, there's the Father, and Joel 2 comes flying out. "Just turn to me now with all your heart, and I will give you back all the things that you've lost." How intense is that? Beyond belief intense. There's a girl in our church in Michigan. She'd been abused by her father, two brothers, an uncle, and countless men till she didn't even know how many anymore. And she started attending our church and spent time with us and listened to us and heard us preaching and heard about a God who loved her in spite of all that she'd been through. And she trusted Jesus with her heart and life. And she said, "Now what do I do? I thought that the only thing I was good for in life was making myself available for people to misuse me." And I took her to that little verse in Joel. And I said, "Just turn to me now with all your heart, and I'll give you back all that you lost." And so God gave her back forgiveness for her guilt. And he gave her back purity for her behavior. And he washed her clean and gave her back innocence in her counsel and in her conscience. And she became the most beautiful person inside I think I've met, maybe ever. Because who is forgiven much loves much. She needed a guide. And she needed someone to own her. And when she found that, she had everything. And he's available for you this morning, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. I think of an old hymn. We don't ever sing this anymore. But I can sing it because I'm an old guy. So it's all right. Come all of you who are downcast. Come you disconsolate. That's what the hymn is. But come all who are downcast. Come to the mercy seat. Patiently kneel. Listen to these words now for you and I. Here, bring your wounded heart. Here, tell all your anguish. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal when you have Jesus. Do you need a guide? You need somebody to own you? I'm not here to put you on the spot. I'm just giving you an invitation. It's his. Said, come and find rest. Simply go to him and say, Lord, I understand. For the first time, I see I'm lost and desperate. And there's no hope for me apart from you. And I'm willing to trust you and accept you as my Savior and Lord. And as best as I know how, if you show me, I'll do it your way. You see, you come to Jesus with that kind of an attitude, he saves to the uttermost and never turns you away. Shall we pray? Father, help these dear ones now to claim this guide and this one who said if we would claim him in this world, he would not be ashamed to claim us before the Father. And we will find rest for our souls. Take your word and seal it to our hearts and help us to follow you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.